And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Great to have your company. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. I hope you can stay with us. Coming up this hour, we're going to find out all about the role of the Bandy Up Action Group. Now, this is a offset from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee in Western Australia, playing a very important role and looking at issues like deaths in custody, overcrowding, the effect that that's happening on our women within the system. So do stay tuned. In the second half of this program, we'll be finding out all about the role of that as a watchdog here in Western Australia. In the first half of the show, though, looking forward to talking about the important role played by grandparents in our community. Unfortunately, though, there is an increasing role where our grandparents are bringing up the younger children in the family, their grannies. So we're going to talk with Georgia Herford, who's one of our family law lawyers working out of the Perth Aboriginal Legal Service Office, about the increasing role that grandparents play in raising our young community members. Do stay tuned and here on Noongar Radio. Great to have your company on Law Matters, brought to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And g'day to everyone listening through Fitzroy Crossing, through Wonky Radio and through Kalgoorlie as well. Juma Radio are tuning into us now each fortnight, which is great. And of course, the National Indigenous Radio Service, which takes this program as well, that is broadcast out of the studios of 100.9 FM Noongar Radio in Beaufort Street, Perth, the Aboriginal Advancement Council building, a very historical building for people here in Noongar country in Western Australia. Family law is a really important part of the work that the Aboriginal Legal Service does in Western Australia. Unfortunately, there's a huge demand on services in this area. So we wanted to touch base about some really important people in our community today, and I'm talking about our grandparents. So let's find out about the important role that they play in bringing up our young people in the community. And welcome to the program, Georgia Herford, who is a family law lawyer with the Aboriginal Legal Service in Perth. Georgia, welcome to the program for the first time. How are you?
Thanks, Jodie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. We're going to talk about family law and grannies in the next half an hour. But before that, you've been with the Aboriginal Legal Service for about 10 months. Yep. How are you enjoying it?
I love it. It is such a good working environment. I love the work. My clients are great. It's very busy always, but just fantastic work, fantastic environment.
The family law unit is a very tight-knit unit, a small unit. How many lawyers in there?
Well, until recently, we did have five. We had one up in Broome and one in Kalgoorlie, but unfortunately, due to some funding reductions, they've both just recently moved on. So currently, there's only three of us in the family law unit, so very tight-knit and a lot of work for just three lawyers.
Oh, very much. Before the ALS, where were you?
I was at Legal Aid Western Australia just before the ALS. I was working there as a paralegal in their frontline services and in the civil division. I really enjoyed it there, but it was time for a change and ALS came up. So
you're from WA?
I'm not actually. I'm from New South Wales. I'm from a little town called Mullumbimby, which is just near Byron Bay. And I made the trip over here with my sister a couple of years ago now. We bought a van and we drove over the top end.
So living the dream.
That's right. It's a bit of a different story now.
But are you heading away from Mullumbimby? Because I imagine over the years there's a lot of people who've headed to Mullumbimby.
Yeah, absolutely. One day might go back, but for the moment, loving it here in Western Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did your legal training where?
So I studied in Brisbane at Griffith University and I worked at a few community legal centres over there and then I came over here and started as a paralegal at Legal Aid, finished up my graduate diploma in law at the College of Law here in Western Australia.
All right, so you're in the area of family law now, and it's a very emotional area of law. You're dealing with people, real issues, family, custody battles. You'd have to have pretty thick shoulders, I imagine, to get through every day with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing with people and their children, and there's nothing that's more important to, I think, everyone than their kids. So a very heavy area of law, but very interesting and also very rewarding.
Okay. Grandparents.
Yes.
I imagine you're dealing with a lot of grandparents on a daily basis through work with the family law unit. Mm. What role do they play?
Yeah, look, grandparents are playing a huge role, and I think with the work I've been doing, I think I see it increasing. A lot of various roles as well, but I see a real increase in grandparents actually taking over the primary carer role of a lot of their grannies, and that's in both jurisdictions of the Children's Court, which is Care and Protection Matters, where DCP have taken the children, and the kids get placed with the grandparents through a relative carer placement, but also through the family courts as well, where grandparents, just through circumstance, the kids have come into their care and they're there applying for orders for the kids to live with them. Also, a lot of grandparents wanting to just spend time with their grannies, and again, due to a range of circumstances, have been prevented from doing that.
It's not the fact that you get older and you can put your feet up and relax. No. It's actually turning out to be the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in a lot of our cases, especially the ones that are running through the Children's Court, you see a very cyclical nature going on where the grandparents themselves haven't necessarily raised their own children. They've been brought up by their parents. And so then when they get to the stage of grandparents, their kids, due to a range of issues, unfortunately aren't able to care for their own kids, and they end up bringing up their grannies instead of their own children. It's almost a very cyclical family structure that we're seeing at the moment.
I mean, it's a shame that there's a situation where grandparents need to be as hands-on as they are bringing up their grandchildren. Could be for a range of factors, I guess, some dysfunction in the community, one or both parents in prison perhaps, custody battles. Is there support for them in the community in taking on that role?
Generally, yes. I think it's very hard for any parent to take kids off their own children. I think that's a very conflicting role. And with the grandparents, the parents of the kids are sometimes very supportive of that. They're very thankful. They're really happy that the children have somewhere to go to that's safe and it's with family. I think sometimes, though, it creates a lot of conflict within the communities, because technically it's the grandparents who are having care of these kids and sometimes preventing the parents from seeing them. So, and sometimes that's a necessary role because of involvement through organisations like Department for Child Protection, who are saying parents aren't safe, grandparents, you have to take these kids, and that will, sometimes create some conflict.
My guest is Georgia Herford, who's a family law lawyer with the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, talking about the role of grandparents. And I imagine that conflict when you're talking about something as emotional as parents being told you're not suitable to have this child at this time, therefore we feel the child is better off with the grandparents, that the stress, as you say, sometimes it's smooth sailing but not all the time, must be incredibly hard on all parties.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's it. You're talking about a family unit. You're not talking about strangers. You're talking about people who are very intimately connected, and I guess also then the wider impacts on the community and where loyalties lie and things like that. But, a lot of stress on the grandparents and the parents, and you just hope that that stress doesn't filter down too much to the children and they manage to grow up, not having felt the impact of that.
Because that is, at the end of the day, what is the guiding point, isn't it? What is in the best interests of the child?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what everyone's aiming for.
Georgia, obviously we'd never talk about a specific case here on Law Matters, but I'd like you to give us some examples of scenarios where people might walk into the family law unit and say, hang on, we need some help from the ALS.
Yeah, for sure. A really common one that we've been seeing, actually, is a very interesting circumstance, and again I'll go back to the grandparents because that's what we're kind of looking at today, where Department for Child Protection have been involved with the family, and they've been doing, I would say, not particularly fantastic work, in that they will come in and say to grandparents, we've been looking at your grandkids, we don't think that they're safe with their parents, we're not willing to take action in the court, but if you don't take them into your care, then we will. We'll take them and we'll place them into foster care. And the grandparents, of course, then will come into ALS and they'll say to us, you know, we need some help. We've just been told this. What are we meant to do? And so basically our process will be a screening process. We need to make sure we have no conflicts of interest, haven't represented other parties and things like that. But in a matter like that, where clearly there's some risk issues, the children aren't particularly safe. There's also risk of the children being placed outside of the family, which is always the least desirable option. We would take on those matters. In a case like that, we'd make an application to the family court and generally see the client the whole way through the process, which I think on average these days a family court case lasts about 2 years.
Wow. And so basically it comes as a result of an ultimatum, DCP says, mm-hmm. if you don't do this, we're going to do it anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's not a choice. There's no choice there. Yeah, like you were saying before, these grandparents who are maybe thinking, all right, I've done my time, you know, I've brought up however many children, it's time for me to put my feet up and relax, are suddenly sprung back into action. And, really need to take on a very heavy responsibility of, again, bringing up their grannies.
And another area I imagine that the family law comes into contact with regularly is conflict of interest, mm-hmm. where in some cases we're not able to take on a new client because it is a conflict of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's extremely common and it's very unfortunate because I think a lot of people come to ALS as a specific service. We also, our family law unit offers representation in a lot of matters that aren't being taken on by organisations like Legal Aid these days. Particularly we see that in grandparents who want to spend time with their grandkids, not necessarily take them on as a custody matter, but just to spend time with them. And if there's no risk to the kids, Legal Aid won't provide you with a lawyer for that. We try and take those matters on because we think that it's important that kids get to spend time with all of their family members. But if we have represented either of the parents or anyone else involved in those proceedings in a range of matters, then we have to turn everyone from that family away.
Wow, I imagine that's an area that has a lot of people scratching their head and going, but hang on, you're the ALS, if you're not going to help me. So it's very hard to say no, but it's, as you're saying, if there's a conflict and we're already representing another party involved, you just can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, I guess, your perception of procedural fairness, and there has to be that perception there that ALS hasn't been involved with any of the other parties. Otherwise, someone who's the other party could say, oh, hang on, you've got information about me, you shouldn't be representing them against me. So yeah, it's so unfortunate. We come across it all the time, and it really does create, I think, a really big gap in service providing to family law clients.
Yeah. Georgia Herford is with me in the studio. Let's pause. So there you go. This is Noongar Radio. Law Matters brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Thank you for your company. Jodie Hoffman with you for about the next 35 minutes. And with me in the studio, Georgia Herford from our Family Law Unit in Western Australia. Georgia, I know that we were talking about a bit of a decrease in lawyers that we have in the area of family law, with the fact that we now don't have lawyers working out of, or a lawyer working out of Kalgoorlie or Broome in Western Australia. Despite that, we still offer comprehensive family law services, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, down in Perth, we're always available over the phone. I'm actually running a fair amount of files that are going on in Broome from the Perth office. It obviously makes it slightly more difficult that clients can't just drop by and say hello, but can always contact us over the phone for some advice. And if it's appropriate, again, we'll look at taking on matters. I am also about to, in mid-July, from July 20th to 24th, I'll be in Broome doing the family court circuit. Got a couple of clients who have matters on, but I'm also hoping to base myself in the office for that week and just provide advice to whoever wants to come in and have a chat to me. And I know that we're hoping to get some more country circuits going, particularly to Kalgoorlie as well, having felt that loss there recently as well.
It is a big area, and as you say, doing the circuits, where obviously you can't expect everyone to live within reach of an Aboriginal Legal Service office. So really important to get out to communities, find out what's happening, and offer those services to people in very remote areas of the state, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, family law, it's an area that affects everyone. It's not specific to the cities, definitely not. And there's a huge demand for it in the communities. up north, the over-representation of Aboriginal kids in care is outrageous. I unfortunately don't know the figures off the top of my head, but I know in some areas there are 100% of the children in care from those areas are Aboriginal. So obviously there's a really big need for family law services all over the state.
All right. Georgia, thank you for coming in and having a yarn with us on Law Matters today. I do want to remind our listeners that in the area of family law, if you log on to our website at www.als.org.au, we've got all of our ALS pamphlets online, and there are a few very good comprehensive pamphlets about family law, services that we provide, different scenarios that might make you need our services. But in the first instance, pick up the phone if you think that we can help you with a family law matter. Our service is there for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in Western Australia. We've got a free call number that you can call from anywhere in the state, 1-800-019-900. Just tell our receptionist you need to speak to someone about family law and you'll be put straight through. Sometimes questions could be answered in a phone call. Other times you might be referred to somewhere more appropriate, or we'll help you the best way that we can. Georgia, anything else we need to let our listeners know today?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. You did also just bring up a very important thing. We do have a massive referral network. Even if we can't help you out, we have many organisations that we can refer you to for appropriate help.
Awesome. Georgia, we'll have a chat again in the near future here on Law Matters. Thanks for coming in to talk about family law today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jodie.
Georgia Herford from the Perth-based Aboriginal Legal Service Family Law Unit here on Noongar Radio. Gosh, that first half of the program has just flown. Let's pause for a breath and some more music. And when we return, we're going to find out all about the role of the Bandy Up Action Group. For our national listeners, Bandy Up is a women's prison here in Western Australia. We'll find out more on Noongar Radio. G'day to everybody listening through Juma Radio in Kalgoorlie in Western Australia, Wonky Radio in Fitzroy Crossing, and through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Great to have your company. This program, for listeners new to the program, is brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you in the chair today, and really looking forward to finding out about a very important watchdog group that has formed here late last year called the Bandy Up Action Group. And to enlighten us more, I'd like to welcome to the program lawyer Carol Bohemia. Carol, thank you for your time on Law Matters. How are you?
Oh, very well, Jodie. Thanks. Thank you.
In Western Australia, we're used to hearing of the great work being done by the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, but a new arm has now set up called the Bandy Up Action Group. We do have a national audience. Tell us what Bandy Up is here in the West.
Bandy Up is the main prison for women in Western Australia. It receives women from all over the state, not just the Perth area. So we get women from the north, northwest, the south, and it's a high security facility that receives women across all securities. That means if you're minimum security, if you're on remand, if you're medium security, if you're maximum security, you'll go to Bandy Up and be treated as a maximum security prisoner subject to those regimes. And the thing is that as the prison population generally has exploded, the women's population has increased even quicker, if I can put it that way. And the overcrowding at Bandy Up now is just is out of control. There's no cap on how many people can go to Bandy Up. So if I can just put that in context, it's got a design capacity for 180 people. The government says it's got an operational capacity, which is something different, of about 250-odd. And last we heard, there were some 348 people there. So it's massively overcrowded. And the government will just keep sending women there with no limit to how many it'll accept.
And I'm imagining, Carol, that with most prisons around this country, with that overcrowding and 348 prisoners in Bandy Up Prison here in Western Australia, that a very large population of that is Aboriginal.
Oh, yes. Large is understating it, Jodie. Nearly half the women in Bandy Up are Aboriginal women. And as I said, they're from all over the state. There are many out-of-country women. it's an unaccountable system from what I can see, really.
Carol, I can't even begin as an Aboriginal woman to imagine the additional stress and strain brought on such overcrowding, given that, as you've said, these women are from all over country, different protocols, different country, different culture, and all put into the same four walls.
Yes. It's mind-boggling. It's as if it isn't even an issue on the government's radar.
So, where do we start to address a problem like that? And it is a huge problem. You've got a capacity that was built to house 180 people, an operational figure of 250 people, and currently today stands at 348 women in Bandyup Women's Prison. What issues can that cause?
Well, most recently, you might have seen in the press, there has been a suicide. There's been no formal recognition or advice of that from government, but someone who was in crisis care, so supposedly under the at-risk management scheme that's introduced and should be under surveillance at all times, died. Suicided, and that's really all we know at this stage. But that's what happened. There's simply the overcrowding is such that the staff aren't available to do their jobs. Forget about the level of programs to keep women employed, to help them with substance abuse issues, to further education and all those sorts of life skills. None of the level of that is so woefully inadequate that it's a joke to even suggest that. The government's serious at tackling it. What can be done? We think that if government turned, that's a big if it looked at a different approach altogether and simply reviewed its mandatory sentencing options, reviewed its remand options, looked at other ways of managing bail and minimum security, the problem could almost be addressed very quickly. But those things don't appear to be on the government's radar at all. Instead, they're committed to building more prisons.
My guest on Law Matters is Carol Bohemia, a lawyer who is involved in the Bandyup Action Group. And we're talking about the overcrowding of Bandyup and, tragically, another death in custody during June this year. Now, one death in custody is one death too many. And it's incredibly phenomenal to think, Carol, that over 20 years on from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, this sort of thing is still occurring. Recently, we had Amnesty's report released as well, highlighting what needs to be done to make our prisons safer. It's hard to understand that it's still happening, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling, Jodie. I don't have the words for it. I wish I did, but the Amnesty report received a lot of acknowledgement around the country and in the States. I think the more voices that speak about this issue, the more voices that say it's beyond unacceptable, the more voices that say there are effective alternatives that government should be looking at. We say from a human point of view, the devastation, particularly to women, that's caused by imprisonment. But if the government just wants to focus on the dollars, you can focus on the dollars and say these other alternatives still make a lot of sense. But what can people do now? Look, get in touch with Bandyup Action Group. Particularly, we'd love to hear from women with lived prison experience so that we can put our addresses to government with real life examples and real life experiences that women have experienced inside. We're having a speak out in Fremantle this Saturday at 12 o'clock. So if people would like to come down, say hello, tell us a bit about what their experience might be, that would be really great. But we're lobbying government, we're meeting with as many people who talk to us, and at every turn we're highlighting the issue in real terms. And of course, Jodie, if I can just take a minute to say, everything we're talking about has been independent. independently found by the Inspector for Custodial Services when he handed down his report late last year. So we're not. No one can say that we're making this up. No one can say it's not as bad as it is. In fact, it's almost the opposite, really. I was talking to a lawyer last week, and she was complaining about one of the men's prisons, and says, "Oh, this is terrible. We can't do this. It's terrible. Can you imagine this list of all these terrible things going on in the men's prison?" And I was thinking, "Oh God, so where does Bandy Up stick up against that?" And then she looked at me and she said, "Jody, I kid you not," she said, "but it's paradise compared to Bandy Up."
Wow.
So that puts the scale of things for me, you know. It's paradise compared to Bandy Up. So how that can be all right for anybody in Western Australia in 2015 is beyond me.
Talking with Carol Bohemia about the Bandy Up Action Group that formed late during 2014. Carol, earlier on our program, we were talking with one of our family law lawyers about the increasing need of grandparents to step in and take on that parenting role of their grannies. It's incredible to think how many families are being fractured because a mother is in prison, in many instances for find a fault or other things that aren't criminal activity. It's frightening because the ripple effect of that mother being taken out of that family environment just it plays dominoes with all of that community, doesn't it?
And it's a no-brainer, isn't it, Jodie? I think this is why I get lost for words, because it's so fundamental, it's so obvious. If someone can't see that, you wonder, well, where did you start the dialogue if that's not a common factor of saying women particularly hold families together? If the mother's gone, the family falls apart, children are moved from their home to other areas and schooling falls apart, the ripple turns into a tsunami for that particular family. And for what purpose? At every turn, I ask myself that question: for what purpose? No one comes out of Bandy Up better than they've gone in. Or if they have, for example, if they have managed to access some of the programs, those programs should be available outside. You shouldn't have to go to Bandy Up to be able to access the health programs that are needed in the community.
Is Bandy Up the only women's prison in Western Australia?
It's the only women's only prison. There are facilities for women in Roebourne and Kalgoorlie, I think. I should know the answer to that, shouldn't I, Jodie? And Grenith too. There's Grenith has been redesigned to take women as well.
Okay, but the only women's only prison it is then. So in terms of the Bandy Up Action Group, Carol, it formed late last year. Is it part of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee?
Yes, it's a subcommittee of the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee. So
and
we work very closely.
And who's involved with the Bandy Up Action Group?
Well, there's myself, and it's a number of mainly women who are very appalled by what's going on across all walks of life. We have students, we have designers, we have psychologists, we have lawyers. So all professions, all experiences. We also have women who, of course, have been inside and have that lived prison experience.
Do you have the capacity to actually talk with women who are in Bandy Up?
Very limited.
Yes.
Negligible to zero. It is very difficult. We've tried a few different approaches, but nothing's really enabled an ongoing kind of structured approach to talk with women or with management, really.
Okay, so basically what we have in Perth is a dedicated group of people who've thought, hang on a minute, enough is enough, this can't continue. It certainly can't continue at these rates when you've got a complex that was built to house 180 people and is now almost double that capacity. The problems that would bring in and double bunking and et cetera is just terrifying. Do you find that the more you look into this situation, the worse the alarm bells ring?
I feel like I'm in a parallel universe, Jodie. there are such basic things that you would think would be would go without saying that just don't exist. For example, there's a wonderful training program for the prison staff called Working with Female Offenders. By all accounts, it's a top-notch course that's very highly valued. It's compulsory for every prison officer in Western Australia to undertake that course, except for the prison officers in Bandyup. So, yes, you heard that right. the woman-specific training program for prison officers called Working with Female Offenders is not compulsory for the prison officers working in Bandyup. And not only is it not compulsory, but less than half of them have undertaken that program training. It's Alice in Wonderland stuff. It's beyond Kafkaesque.
All right, so it looks like the action group has its work cut out for it. I'm sure you're all up to the challenge. You start, I guess, with the lobbying, with hearing people's stories about their own experiences, with going to government and saying, this is unacceptable. How often do you meet? And if people are listening to this and they feel really passionate about what they've heard about today on the program, can they be part of the Bandyup Action Group?
Yes, please. We'd urge you to say yes, please. We meet at 4:30 on Wednesday afternoons at 445 Hay Street in the city. We've got a Facebook page, we've got a website page. Please get in touch with us or just come along and see what we do and tell us a bit about yourself. We'd love to welcome new members, particularly women with lived prison experience.
Well, look, I'm very pleased to know, Carol, that in Western Australia there is a lobby group that is focused solely on Bandyup, being the only all-women prison here in Western Australia, double its capacity at the moment in people sleeping there, according to your figures. So thank you for letting us know more about it. And I'm sure that if listeners want to find out more about your work, they can just Google Bandyup Action Group and it'll take them to the website, yes?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, look, I wouldn't mind touching base with you again in the coming months just to see if you've had any leeway and progress in this area. But it is very reassuring to know that you are keeping an eye on what is happening within the prisons for the benefits of the women in there, their families, their communities, and obviously to avoid unnecessary death in custody, because it's an absolute tragedy that is just having a ripple effect and affecting communities across the country. It's a real tragedy, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jodie, absolutely.
All right, Carol, thank you for joining us on Law Matters, and we look forward to touching base again in the near future.
Thank you for having me, Jodie. Thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Lawyer Carol Bohemia talking about her role and the role of the Bandyup Action Group. Bandyup, B-A-N-D-Y-U-P. Bandyup if you want to Google it to find out more about the Action Group. And as Carol said, they would welcome your input into that group. You're with Jodie Hoffman on Law Matters here on Noongar Radio. Good to have your company. Well, for this fortnight on Law Matters, we're just about out of time, but thank you so much for joining us on the program. If you would like any more information about the Aboriginal Legal Service, please check out our website, www.als.org.au. Got a legal issue? We've got a free call number in WA, 1-800-019-900. Thank you to my guests, Georgia Herford from our Family Law Unit and Carol Bohemia, letting us know all about the Bandyup Action Group. We'll be back again in a fortnight's time and look forward to your company for then. Until then, Jodie Hoffman saying bye for now and stay tuned listening to this wonderful radio station. All the best to you.